Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
And we are now tuned in to episode 472, y'all. I am your host, King Eric, the media assassin, alongside T-Max with the facts, and my special guest of the night, Pittsburgh Pack.
What it do, y'all know the Thursday night of terrificness, OTCF in the building. Pat, it's always great to have you with us, man. What's going on?
What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
How y'all doing?
We good, man.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, we good, man. Happy to be here for another night. We know we got a special show lined up. So, Pat, do me honors, man. Who we got on the line tonight?
Well, we got a legend on the phone. He's from the greatest city in the entire world, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. But I believe he's still King of the Dot champion. He's a battle rap legend. Pittsburgh legend, or truly is. We've got the boy Real Deal on the line.
All right.
No doubt. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio, my man.
Real, great to have you with us.
Yo, you guys all there?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
What's
yes,
going
sir.
On with you, man? Great to have you with us. What's going on?
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys. I'm good, man. Just trying to, I defend this title on Saturday in Vegas, man. So, trying to clear the cobwebs and get ready, man, to bring the title back to a fourth time to the Steel City. You know how it is.
I was just about to say, you're a four-time champion. Are you already a four-time champion or three-time about to be four?
I'm three-time going for four. Yeah, so I won it and defended it twice. I've had the title for almost 1,000 days, which sounds impressive, but, being from Pittsburgh, Bruno Sammartino got a longer reign. You feel what I'm saying? I know my Pittsburgh is, so, yeah. They sleep on how we do out here, my guy. You know what I mean? So,
man. That's great. Bruno Sammartino,
shout out right there.
I
have a picture of my grandparents with Bruno Sammartino, believe it or not, man. But I grew up in a wrestling family, so I appreciate those wrestling bars you be spitting too, bro, because I grew up on wrestling, and those wrestling bars you spit are nice, but that's great you just shouted out Bruno Sammartino, a true Pittsburgh legend. Oh, my God. Bruno just passed a couple years ago. That man looked like he could still run through a brick wall. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that dude would feel different. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool, growing up. Like, I was into wrestling, but, what was crazy was, my grandparents, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up,
and they were wrestling fans. So a lot of my, like, first favorite wrestlers were old school wrestlers, you know what I mean? Like, guys that, like, I didn't even know. Like, when you're little, you don't really know everything.
Like superstar,
so, like,
Billy Graham and shit, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay,
so, like, growing
yeah.
up, like, some of my favorite wrestlers, like, I didn't even know that they didn't still wrestle yet, you know what I mean? So, like, Bruno Sammartino was my favorite wrestler before I even knew he didn't wrestle anymore, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up in, like, the old school, like, wrestling. So, like, you know, I grew up.
Yeah, he,
you know,
he
followed it all
Madison
the way
Square,
through. Like,
my guy. Bruno
yes,
Sammartino sold out Madison Square Garden, my guy. Yeah, Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
roots run deep, man. People don't like to acknowledge it, and they act like this country ain't built off of steel. Like, you know what I mean? You guys are fucking clowns. Like,
I mean,
yeah,
look,
man,
we take it back to days with Carnegie Steel, you know what I'm saying? U.S. Steel and
facts,
all that, you know what I'm saying? You know,
hell
I mean,
yeah.
it,
I mean, look
you know,
at some of the greatest football players of all time are Pittsburgh.
Yo,
Brent,
Danny Marino.
Like Montana.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
Mike
man, you think of
that? Aaron Donald?
Yeah, Tony
Aaron
can't
Donald.
Forget Tony Dorsett. You know, Tony Dorsett
check
played
it out.
There, you know, with
check
Johnny Majors and all that. Yeah.
This is the little so the school I teach at is an elementary school. And two of my
okay.
teachers taught Aaron Donald. He went to my elementary school for kindergarten
oh, wow.
and first grade. So they taught him. They said he was real quiet, like very, like, timid. Like, you know what I mean? He was a sweetheart kid. Like, he was five and fucking six. But it's funny now seeing him just fucking power lift 700 or six, whatever, and just grab up whoever because they said he was, like, a sweet little kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he
and,
went to Penn Hills High School, and, like, just, like, I'm very familiar with Penn Hills. I used to live in Penn Hills, but, like, to see him make the play that sealed the Super Bowl, like, that shit was just, like, special to me, but special to a whole city. Like, Aaron's one of those dudes that, like, yeah, the Rams won the Super Bowl, but, like, Pittsburgh has a lot to be proud of for that. You know what I mean? Because,
my
like,
guy, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna die on this hill. He and I love football. He's the best defensive football player I've ever seen, ever, ever.
And they've been
ever.
Saying that.
That's Deion Sanders,
it, I mean,
that's Ray Lewis. I don't care. He plays interior defensive lineman, and he gets double
yeah.
and triple teamed, and records double
yeah.
digit sacks, and is still unstoppable against the run. Sealed the Super Bowl, had two sacks, 3-time defensive
yeah.
player of the year. It's time to start acknowledging greatness in sports when it happens instead of holding them up to something that they'll never achieve. Like, we get it. Lawrence Taylor was great. Aaron Donald
yeah.
is doing things that are unheard of. Now, when I saw Lawrence Taylor, he was in the way, way past his prime. But so I'm just going with the people I've seen. Lewis, Polamalu, Derrick Brooks, great defenders. Aaron Donald is different.
Even if somebody would disagree with that, you still have to acknowledge that there's an argument. Like, that's a worthy argument. Like, because the dude is not just a great defensive player. He's a great football player in general. And he's very
right.
smart at the game. And just the fact, like, when he's in the game, some of his best games, like, I've watched a lot of his games, some of his best games, his numbers aren't shit. Like, he'll have, like,
no.
three tackles, maybe a knockdown.
Right.
Nothing, like, you know, he might not even have a sack or anything, but those are his most impressive games because he's so dominant that if they put two people on him to shut him down, it opens up other player opportunities. And just the fact
division,
that when he's in the game, he changes the game.
In a division,
you know?
Bro, against Wilson, Murray, and Garoppolo, three of the more mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, can you imagine
mm-hmm.
if he played against some sitting ducks? Like, if he had some people that, like, once you get home, that's a wrap? Like, again,
yeah.
There are statistics, and then there's you dive deep, right? So sack,
mm-hmm.
I think a sack, honestly, is actually one of the most overrated statistics because it's just you tackle the quarterback, right? Like,
yeah.
But when you delve into all the other havoc he causes in the chaos, I mean, again, bro, I mean, this is,
Probably a talk for another day, man. But Aaron Donald is, I will die on the hill that he's the greatest
defender.
Just to
wrap up that conversation, you're right. Like, yeah, I mean, Shaq, you do get some credit for that. But there's also many plays where, you know, there's not a stat for when the quarterback sees you, he throws the ball. And it gets batted down on third down and forces a punt or gets picked off. Like a defensive player won't get a stat for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like,
right.
Just his presence changes the play every single time, whether he touches the quarterback or not. You know what I mean?
And I can't stress enough, my brother, he plays in the middle of the defensive line where it's easy to get bumped into a by a guard, chipped by a center, and he's still finds a way. Like, he's different, bro.
Yeah, he is. And I mean,
a real quick cool note is I worked for these dudes, and he was in college here in Pittsburgh. He had, I don't know what kind of case it was, but he needed some lawyers and stuff. Well, the guy, one of the lawyers he had ended up being my boss, and that was all the way back when he went to college here in Pittsburgh. And to this day, he was so grateful that the first year that he made the Pro Bowl, he sent my boss a football signed by the entire Pro Bowl defense that year that he made it. And my boss ended up giving me that football. I still have it. But it's signed by the whole Pro Bowl team.
Story. My God, this is like a Sandlot. Do not take that football out.
Oh, no, don't trust me. It's in a safe place. It's in a very safe place.
You know,
trust me, man, I cherish that ball. You know what I mean?
Fucking right.
And it's crazy.
Fucking right.
And it's crazy because when you look at what he did, you know, because when we see a lot of players in college, we look at Tom Brady, you know, we look at, you know, we see guys like Dan Marino when he was at Pittsburgh, and he was unbelievable. You know, we look at Montana when he was at Notre Dame. He won the Heisman. You know, but when we look at guys like Aaron Donald, he was great in college, but I don't think anybody saw what we were seeing in terms of what he would end up becoming. I mean, you know, it's just...
I don't know, bro. I think
he's going to be a great player.
I think he was. I think he was. And here's the thing. Pitt produces sneaky, incredible players. Like, I think Kenny Pickett's going to be really good. I think that receiver, what is his name? Who's the one that just won the Biletnikoff? He's going to be really good. Tyler Boyd is really good. Shady
that
McCoy
quarterback
is really good.
Y'all got coming out. That quarterback, number 8 y'all got coming out.
Kenny Pickett. Listen, Pitt.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett. Pickett is
struggles
gonna be
to put together full seasons. But they sneak and put together. Pitt has the most Hall of Famers of any college football program ever. NFL Hall of Famers. Think about that.
Yeah.
Crazy, bro.
Man, look. Shout out to guys like Johnny Majors, of course, and of course, presently, Pat Narduzzi. You know what I'm saying? You know, look at guys come through. Rob Rutherford, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, Deion
Larry
Lewis.
Larry Fitzy,
all of those guys. Yeah.
That's my guy.
Hail to Pitt.
We could talk Pittsburgh sports day and night, guys. You know what I mean? But I do want to give to what this episode is about. Of course, Real Bill, me, you know, personally, like, I'm a huge fan of battle rap. I'm a Pittsburgh diehard. So I would root for you anyway, even if you weren't great. But you are great. You've held down the city.
That's love, man. Thank you, pal.
Yeah, you really have. I mean, like, I was a fan of yours before I knew that you were from Pittsburgh. Like, I had, you know, I had did some time. I came home and stuff, and I saw one of your battles. I think it's not a fact. Thanks for making the exception. I think that was the line that I was like, who's this dude? And then, like, I saw just randomly, like, I just had, like, battles, like, with autoplay on YouTube, and, like, one of your full battles came on. You were wearing a Pittsburgh hat. And I was like, man, this dude's nice. So, like, I looked you up and knew that you were from the city. So I started, like, doing a deep dive on you. I'm like, man, this dude is crazy. And it's no surprise to me that you ended up being thinking about people. But I know that it to make that transition to the dots, it's not only from the first, but there is a difference there, because a lot of smack rappers, you know, they kind of look at being an adult like it's not, and maybe not so much anymore, but I do believe there was a time where they didn't fully respect King of the Dot battle rappers, you know what I mean?
But
I feel that you play a huge part in getting that respect. You and people like Pat Shay, I want to give him a shout out too, because
incredible.
Probably
my favorite.
You guys had to perform at an extremely high level, because you knew if you don't, then that really knocks on the whole, you know, like it knocks on a lot of people. Like, all these King of the Dot dudes can't hang with Smack. You know what I mean? But
here's the thing with that, bro. I think, not to interrupt you, but I think at the end of the day, you got to realize you're your own brand too, right? So
yeah.
If King of the Dot puts 100, let's say, pocket-protecting, you know, Revenge of the Nerds motherfuckers on, I don't venture out there, you know, and campaign like Jon Snow for them. Like, I'm like, you know, you're going to have to pack a lunch when you see me. That's all I know. And I don't give a fuck if it's on King of the Dot, if it's on Don't Flop, if it's in Australia, if it's in Iceland, if it's in Pittsburgh, wherever. You know, you ain't going to pull that bullshit me. I've seen struggle. I've done whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? We're not going to do that. So you better show up, because you're not going to mixtape verse me, because I've worked hard enough that the fans will be like, oh, no, you got killed. Don't act like you showed up for a check. So I think that's part of it too, right? So some of those battlers, like you mentioned, URL, they did show up on these platforms and maybe take advantage a little bit, like, you know, it don't matter anyway. But I'm one of the proudest accomplishments I have, maybe even more proud than having a title, is, you know, when you battle me, like I'm battling Geechee Gotti in Pittsburgh at the end of June, and I have the utmost respect for Geechee, and I know Geechee will come here trying to kill me. So that's the utmost respect a battler can give me, is like, okay, oh, wait, this is real deal. Okay, so if he smokes me, this will translate. Like, motherfuckers in the URL fan base, like, oh, no, you got smoked. So,
yeah,
it's not, I don't think that we jumped out there like, oh, we got to make it known that we fuck around. And King of the Dot, too, we're with the shit. It's like, you know what? Yeah. I happen to battle a lot on King of the Dot, and just know I don't give a fuck, you know, if it was King of the Whopper sandwiches, and you fucking battle me, pack a fucking lunch. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I
want to ask you this, with you being a part of the battle rap scene, what are your thoughts on a lot of established artists trying to go in y'all field? Like, y'all feel like they don't take it serious like you guys do, or do you feel they bring a good ride to y'all battle league?
So, for the ones that really battle, like Cassidy, and as much as people are going to be like, I don't think he did great or whatever, I have the utmost respect for Cassidy. What Cassidy brings, the publicity, the promotion, his pregame interviews, maybe some of his lines don't hold up as much, but, like, I don't give a fuck. I cap tip to him every day. If this man was – I'm in a bar. If he was sitting across from me right now, I'd be like, what are you drinking, Cassidy? To the motherfuckers that bullshit, you know, I'm not going to lie, like a Lloyd Banks, like, ooh, yo, I might kill somebody over there. Shit or get off the pot, my guy. Stop acting like that's something you could dabble in. You would die. You understand what I'm saying? Like, bad. And you would have every advantage. So, like, I think Lloyd Banks is incredible. Like, but I don't like that. I don't like pretending that you, I might come down and mingle with the common folk. Okay. See how it happens. It's going to be like, you know, when Jack took Rose to the lower deck of the Titanic, my God, like, you know, reputation is on the line. You fuck around, get smoked as Lloyd Banks. You know what I mean? You look what happened to Cannabis. And Cannabis was every backpacker's fucking hero. So the ones that, even if they don't put forth the performance that you hope, I don't care, man. They're fucking, and they're backing their shit up, you know, and fuck it. Thank you. But the ones that, yo, I might have to kill somebody. No, you don't. You can sit back and spectate and be a fan. Just like I'm a fan of football, I don't be like, I might have to put a helmet on and run out there. No, I don't. Fuck no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I respect Cassidy, too, because his whole career, like, even without battle rap, is, you know, he markets himself as being the best lyricist. I mean, he's the best. And the way that he approaches the battle rap scene is, you might be watching it and be like, this dude's cocky and this dude's this and that, and you might want him to lose. But the fact that he brings that, that's great, because he brings eyeballs to the game. Even if you're rooting for him to lose, you're still watching it. So he knows how to sell the fight. And even if you think, if you honestly think that he lost his battles against Arsenal and Ghost and everybody, he still brought
still created such a hoop. Think about this. Bar for bar, and this is no shade. Currently in battle rap, just currently in battle rap, I wouldn't put Cassidy anywhere in my top, whatever, and that's no shame. Okay, I love Pittsburgh battle rap is not that big, so I really like Philly. I love Philly battle rap too, like right Keystone State. But what people don't understand is it's not all fucking what you wrote or what he's an entire presentation. Mm-hmm. And him as an entire presentation eclipses. I mean, fucking the man has, let's not even delve into his catalog of actual fucking radio hits, which was what battle rappers tried to start doing at first. When I first came up, it was like, yo, let's do this until we get noticed. It wasn't like, yo, let's climb the Mortal Kombat ladder until we face fucking Shang Tsung of battle rap. It was like, yo, we just need to, you know, bang a few pots and pans until somebody gives a fuck about us down here. This dude came down and, it, like, listen, he dipped his hands in glass. I got so much hands for Cass, so much respect for Cass. But again, I'm not even just Lloyd Banks. Whoever, any battle rapper that's like, oh, I'm dope, or how would they do, and they entertain it, or they, like, subliminally retweet it or whatever, dude. It is different down here. This is the gladiator fucking pit. This is not you in the studio seeing if you can make a fucking hit single for Sony. Like, reputations, lives have been ruined. Like, this is, that's why we love each
totally
other so much
than
in the battle circuit.
Yeah, and it's totally different than writing a diss track. Like, there's guys that will be great at a diss record, you know. Like, for example, like Jadakiss. Jadakiss can write a crazy diss record, and he might even be able to make a diss record better than a lot of battle rappers. But, like, to actually stand on that stage and do that kind of battle, not saying Jada can't do it. I'm just saying it's a different ballgame.
I think Jada might be one of the ones that could.
It can't. Yeah,
but
that's why I use it as an example, because I think that he might be able to do it, you know.
Yeah, and again, it's not to say that Banks couldn't, or this person couldn't, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't like that dangle that in front of us, like, oh, maybe if I got the time, I'll come. Like, listen, we are killing each other down
way
here.
Too much.
We are literally fucking thinking of ways to deter the next man's payday or whatever, unconsciously. Like, I'm battling Saint this weekend. I actually like Saint. Good dude. I'm trying to put three rounds together to make you not look at him the same, because it's him or me. You don't understand what I'm saying? It's him or me. This ain't Sony, like, you know, oh, can you put together a single with this catchy? This is fucking, it's you or me, dude, and I need to make more the next time I'm booked, so sucks to be you, my guy. And we'll have a drink afterwards if you want to have a beer.
And I mean,
that's how I look at it.
That's just the nature. That's just the nature of how it's done. When you look at some of the old school battles, when you look at some of the battles from back in the day, like when you look at Craig G, you know, versus Supernatural and all that, you know, I tell anybody, it's all part of hip-hop, but when you're looking at battle rap and when you look at a lot of rappers that you know, some of them came through the battle rap ranks, and some of them, their trajectory in terms of their composition was totally different. It doesn't make them any less great. or more great. It's just simply how you enter the field. But that has always kind of been the needling of battle rappers because, like you said, you know, it's not about writing a hit song. It is about simply you going for the jugular and everything to discombobulate, decapitate, and dismember simultaneously.
Yeah.
The science of the description is totally different.
Well, at the end of the day, too, I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
And like if the crowd reacts to a bar against you, it can be hard to come back from that. No matter how dope your shit is, you don't know how everybody else is going to react to certain shit. So you might be fighting an uphill battle and with no way to bounce back from no matter how dope you are. And it could take an entire, you know, it could change your entire career.
Are you talking about like against an art industry rapper or just anybody?
I mean, it's really just anybody, if you think about it. Like, if the crowd latches onto something an opponent says to you, and that, you know, you never know how the internet's going to react to shit. So, like, every battle, you really are fighting for your career. Because you have one bad battle, it can just,
let me explain. Let me tell you about the crowd reaction, and this is not meant to be any slight. I've seen some crowd reactions to some of the worst things I've ever heard rap, where I was like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. So let me explain this. I teach gym in elementary school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was literally just teaching our kids hockey, and I just did a quick hockey shot because I was trying to explain how you don't have to hold the stick very high. I was like, you don't got to hold it up here. And I did a quick hockey shot, and they were like, whoa! And it was like...
It's
the
nothing.
Most
yeah.
fucking elementary. I just slapped it
He's
off
like,
the wall.
He's like, it was just basic. It was just a basic.
I'm telling you, this
if you don't want to answer this question, if you don't want to answer this question, it's fine. I'll give you mine. But can you give me an example of a line that people went crazy for that just wasn't all that, in your opinion? You don't want to
Jesus
answer this
Christ.
Question.
Jesus
I'll
Christ,
give you mine. You can think
so
about it. I'll give you mine. The bar that I hated so much, and like I see it on clips all the time, and people act like it's so crazy, was when Hitman said, "I reload with the bullets that came out of him." I hate that fucking line. Like, it makes no sense. It just I don't like that bar at all, and I think it just got too much love. I don't think it's a good line. I just don't like it.
I'm gonna give you a better one. Okay, so I don't love that line. I see what he was trying to go for, like some
I
demented.
I get it, but it's just
yeah, it's not good. But I'm gonna tell you a better one, and people laugh about it now, but when they were in the building, they reacted, and this is a prime example. You know, because I personally could name a million, but I you know, these are my colleagues. I don't want to, but I'm going to say when Cassidy said Tom Cruise mom shoes, the building, they reacted. They were like,
Tom Cruise
oh.
mom shoes.
And Arsenal was the only person on Twitter. Arsenal was like, yo, this dude's kind of whack right now. And it wasn't till later they were like, oh, he's actually terrible. And I was thinking, nah, he's been terrible from the rip. So now that's just an industry artist example. But I've heard so many reaches, stretches, like, and again, I don't, you know, I could go on all day. And not, I don't want to sound pretentious because on the flip side, when somebody says something incredible, I'm like, I super fan out. I'm like, oh my God, that was fucking nuts. Like, but I think one of the biggest epidemics as well in battle rap is fans or entourages trying to become bigger than supporters, like trying to become part of the fucking show. And it's hindering the experience. But 100%, yes. I don't rely – if I'm judging a battle, I'd prefer to judge it with the crowd noise tuned out. I don't give a fuck what they say.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I do like the crowd noise, but I really did – like,
that like daylight K-Rock battle was so great without the crowd, because you actually heard every single word that they said,
and you let it marinate,
like,
you hear it.
Yeah, and I think that we were lucky that to get that battle, especially in that environment, because it was a big change because of the epidemic and shit, or pandemic, I mean, and the big change for battle rappers and battle rap fans to watch without a crowd. It's clear that we got two top tier guys like that having a classic battle in that environment. I think that was great that we got it like that. If the crowd was involved in that, it might not be the battle that we know it as right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, man, what people have to understand about a, quote, classic battle is it's a perfect storm of all of the great things coming together. So people ask me a lot, yo, you're battling blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we need that B Magic real deal. And I'm like, bro, that's not a secret. This isn't Final Fantasy. Like, I prepare for every fucking battle the same. It's just a perfect storm sometimes. Sometimes it's not. I've wrote some of the best shit of my life to some of the deadest crowds. I wrote some of the, you know, I've wrote some all right shit to some fucking overreactive crowd. I mean, everything, man, you know, it's a perfect storm.
Definitely. And, you said you're battling DC in June in Pittsburgh?
DC, yeah. June 24th.
Where at in Pittsburgh?
In the South Hills, Brookline area.
Oh, okay. That's the fuck. Damn. I might try to make it to that.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh's small
as
shit, so.
Yeah, June
24th.
Man, that's
24th.
The day before my birthday, too, man. My birthday's the 25th. Maybe that's
day
what I'll
after
do for
my
birthday,
day my
man.
My mom died, man. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Man. Yeah, man. Maybe I'm going to try to make it out to that one, man. I'd rather see some battle rap.
Say less.
Live. Man. I've
never
seen battle
rock.
Rap live before.
Oh, so, man. You're missing a lot, man. You gotta pull up.
I know, man. Maybe I'll try to catch that, man. If I make it, I'll let you know that I'm making it, man. Maybe I can take your hand afterwards and everything. But that's going to be a great battle. Anybody listening, that's going to be an excellent battle. Geechee Gotti is one of those guys.
Yeah, I got to pack a lunch. I'm not going to lie. I just talked all this shit. He's incredible. Like, Geechee is fucking
really
incredible.
I mean,
right
there's
now,
no
so.
Shame in losing to a guy like Geechee Gotti. Not to say that you're going to lose to that.
I didn't like
with you the whole time.
No.
Believe me, man. I'm going to be online the whole month saying that, you know, or the next 3 months saying that my prediction is you get him. Definitely. I'm going to ride out with you 100%.
However you feel,
but
listen. He's been incredible, bro. And I'm one of his best supporters, man. I'm so glad somebody like him is on this. So trust me. Trust me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel no type of way, but yeah.
No, I mean, I'll never go against anybody from the city, period. I mean, with you, though, man, I'm not just saying this because you're on the line with me. Like, with you, I never really feel – like, I feel like you're top tier and you're a veteran. So, like,
even if
you're not the favor to win, I don't think that anybody can ever look at you as, like, oh, he's going to get bodied. He's light work at all. I think you stand just as good as a chance against anybody.
Here's the thing. When I battle Geechee, sure, there will be a bunch of, like, battle rap fans, 707s, like, he's going to get killed. Geechee, he got a pack of them. And that's the only respect I need, bro.
And, of course, there's that percentage of fans that, like, no matter what happens, they'll put Geechee on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that comes with every single battle. But,
of course.
You, man, I think that you can stand with the best of them because I've heard it say amongst the best of them. I think that there's not any
proven in my guy.
At
this stage, bro, I don't have anything to prove, bro.
And I hope
it don't sound arrogant or whatever, but we're talking. I've been battling since 2006. I made it to Scribble Jam. You know what I mean? Again, this is from Pittsburgh. I made it to Scribble Jam. Then I made it to Grind Time. Then I made it to King of the Dot. Then I made it to Smack. Then I went overseas. And I, bro, There's literally no box I got to check at this point. I just love the shit. I really love it. I really love it, bro. And I have now with my father, I have such a bigger message to use my platform that I can't stop. So if I got to battle Jesus Christ in Nazareth, then Jesus going to have to lay some sandals up because I got 3 rounds for him. You feel what I'm saying?
Tell us about that movement in terms of concerning your father, in terms of
transition. That's the point of this episode. Anybody listening, you can look up Real Deal, his battle rap. I mean, he goes back, he just heard from 2006. He has some classic battles. He's one of the best to do it. But the point of this episode is because of the movement Justice for Carly. It's about your father and what had happened to him. And I feel like we have 53,000, 54,000 subscribers on our YouTube. Whether all 54,000 hear this or only 10 of them hear it, I just want to do my part. You're from the city. I love you, man. You're a great artist. And
appreciate that, brother.
I wanted to do this just for that movement. Of course, I think you're a great artist, and we interview artists, so like. Of course, there's that part I wanted to introduce to that, but the point of the interview is something bigger than music, bigger than battle rap. You don't have to go into every little detail about it, but if you could just give us a summary about what the Justice for Charlie movement is about. And how to support the movement and everything. So the floor is yours, man. Like, go ahead and give us a summary of the movement.
Thank you, bro. So, I my mother died of cancer on the 23rd, 2013. My sister, an accidental overdose, 2014. I rededicated my life to making sure my father, you know, just he had 4 kids, worked tirelessly, selflessly, lived in the fucking hood, fucking made goddamn no money. My goal was to really make money to get him. He loved to metal detect. To get him just off the Florida, man. Just, dude, you fucking deserve it, you know? So he ends up with, he has a heart stent, like a stent in his heart. And he also has, he gets cancer in his lung. We go in for the situation. They say, look, the cancer can be removed. Looks like he has a leak in that stent. But we had gone a couple weeks earlier to where they had said there was no leak. But now they say there's a leak. And we're like, well, okay, well, what? Because we're celebrating the good news of the cancer. So like, yeah, we're just going to bring him in Monday. Quick procedure. We're going to tighten everything up. He'll be good. Now, again, as someone who is a blind believer in the medical system, I'm like, okay, that's great. Thinking in my head, well, the cancer's removable. That's the part. He goes in on a Monday, 24 hours later, you know, diarrhea, fever, everything goes back. He has an infection. And it turns out he had no leak in his stent, so they opened him up for no reason. That leak ultimately slowly killed him over 30 days in the most grueling, grueling, brutal fucking way you can watch somebody die. To be honest with you, I probably should have PTSD. I just don't. I'm lucky. And that's why, like, when people say, well, you don't know someone's fighting a fight, I should be fucking, I don't know. I don't know why I don't. It was fucking every amount of horrible that you can imagine. It was work. I watched cancer take my mom. That was fucking bad. But, ooh, cancer took a backseat to this shit. So, as, you know, everything transpired, he passes, you know, with sparing the many, many, many details, I immediately look into litigation. I realize that I'm battling UPMC, which is literally what saved Pittsburgh after the steel mills crashed. So they are a fucking juggernaut. And I am just one person. And the lawyers are just people that take slam dunk cases because they can afford to do so, right? So if you get one slam dunk case as a lawyer and you settle, it's 200 grand. You get 100 grand. You don't got to take any risky case after that because then you got to put money, you got to invest. So they don't touch anything with infection. They don't touch anything that even is slightly not worth it to them. And then these motherfuckers just don't play fair. They withhold medical records. They do all kinds of cheap shit. They bully you. They're fucking bullies. And medical malpractice is in the top five fucking leading causes of death in this country. Nobody talks
it
about it
is.
Because it would unite.
It definitely
it
is,
unites.
Man.
It unites.
I don't mean to cut you off, but
nah.
In the past like 7 or 8 years, I lost my fiance and my mom, and in both cases, it was medical malpractice. And like you said, like there comes a point where like you want to do something so bad, but it's just so hard to do something about it, and like
right.
You kind of
but here's
lost.
The thing.
Like, you don't know how to fight.
You
know what I mean? Like, it's hard.
They'll tell you on a weekend how many people were shot and killed in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because that's easy for you to be mad and vilify.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, medical malpractice five times that amount in that same weekend because it would unify both races, both fucking genders, sexual preferences. Everybody got uncles, aunts, grandmas who's like, yo, that didn't seem right. And they make you feel dumb because you don't have a medical degree. They do what? They do the SpongeBob letters, right? Oh, I think that, no, I'm not an idiot, dude. I just got some questions. Can I ask? Because I'm a school teacher. What? If your kid gets hurt in my class, you can ask questions. I can't SpongeBob letter you. You could be like, okay, no, I still got fucking questions. So then I found out the statute of limitations in Pennsylvania for medical malpractice, even in resulting in a death, is 2 years.
Mm.
That might seem like a lot of time, but bereavement is 4 days. Bro, 4 days. 4 days, and you're expected to just pick it up. Now, in the same token, the statute of limitations for receiving stolen property, receiving like a stolen TV from Walmart, is 5 years. Make that make sense. Please make that make sense.
Well, the one thing about it, Real, is when you're looking at medical malpractice, like you said, when you talk about the numbers and math involved in terms of shootings and all that, it's a quantification that can elicit emotion. But see, the thing is, when you're looking at medical professionals who are supposed to be just that professional and qualified, then when you bring up stuff like that, see, they don't want a situation where the whole – when you think about the movie John Q with Denzel Washington, that was a real movie on a lot of levels about the cracks that we have in the medical system and about how things, you know, come to a head in terms of coverage and the people who are supposed to provide care. I live in Virginia. We had a doctor, and I can say this because it was in the paper, a doctor by the name of Dr. Jonathan Brewer, who got caught up in some malpractice stuff for some years. And it was like one of his, mistakes cost somebody their life. And they were talking about, you know, all the stuff that had happened that he had stuff on, you know, prior to. And everybody was asking, like, why wasn't it something done when all this stuff started coming up in the first place? You know what I'm saying? But it's a big network of cronyism when you're dealing with doctors, professionals, degrees in terms of the schools
they
went to.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
My father made, at the time of his death, he made about maybe $15,000 a year. My father was retired from odd jobs. He was a veteran. Just, you know, he raised four kids selfishly, man. He didn't really have a lot to show for it. They got $615,000 out of his insurance because he was a veteran. $615,000 out of an 8-month period. If you don't think that these people have other things like other – now, again, am I saying they're out here cold-blooded murder? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not. Do I think majority of doctors have the well wishes? Yes. It's about accountability and responsibility. I don't know
right.
what your job is.
Right.
But I know you got to face it. I know I got to face it.
Exactly.
I got to face it.
I'm
in a hobby. If they come in a battle this weekend, that's wildly out of pocket. These dudes skate constantly. Cops ain't skating. Motherfuckers is holding them. The teachers ain't skating. All these motherfuckers that we, you know, when you were in kindergarten, they drew little pictures like, what is their job? Doctors somehow, some way, have evaded all fucking And I'm saying, wait a minute, dude. You aren't better than us. Come down with us, man. Fucking you fuck up. Maybe you'll deal with the next person. So I want to extend the statute. So justice for Charlie. My father was a goofy looking dude. He looked like the girl from Cheers. Right? Which I love. He had a little curly throw.
That graphic is
Shelley Long.
Yep. So my niece awesome, did it. The beautiful part. My niece drew the graphic off a picture. My niece is my sister's sister passed, who was his daughter, his only daughter. So it's so beautiful on many levels. But my father is going to be the Jerry West of medical malpractice. I tell you that. That's going to beat any battle rap. That's going to be
the symbol of it.
He's going to be the motherfucker that from the hoods of Bankhead and Compton to the motherfucking Ritz or Beverly Hills, wherever the fuck in Australia, you see that shit. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's medical malpractice. That's what they support. That's my goal. And my goal is that we extend the statute starting in Pennsylvania, if even by 6 months, because when I finally was about to be able to go to court, it was for like $70,000 because there's a calculated formula for what your loved one is worth. It's cruel.
Mm.
I'm telling you, I want to make all this knowledge public.
This ain't no rabbit hole conspiracy.
This is real shit.
It ain't bullshit when they be saying you're worth more dead than you are alive.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only that, they told me, they're like, well, your father, you know, he was 70, and I mean, if it was you, you know, I mean, we'd be looking at blah, blah, blah. I said, God damn.
Yeah,
but that's real.
Insane.
I wasn't even mad at the lawyer. The lawyer looking at it like, yo, I'm being honest with you. You want me to lie to you? I'll lie to you. I said, nope. So this information is not broadcast.
Like I said, I had my fiance died at UPMC Presby, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. That's not what this episode is, man. But like when I was watching the thing you did that's on the King of the Dot YouTube channel, man, I didn't even finish it at first. I felt your pain just through you telling that story because I know what like I went through. And like just to know like how common it is, because like I was never aware of it. I was obviously, and you know, she was my fiance. We weren't married. Her parents weren't really, and her dad's dead. Her mom is on drugs in another state and shit. And she had one sister that lives in California. So like, her immediate family wasn't there to fight for. There's only so much I can do because legally I'm nobody to her. I'm just like a friend. Do you know what I mean?
Which is another joke. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so like, you know, I was out here not knowing how common it was, just pretty much just talking shit on a hospital. And then when like I see your shit, I'm like, wow, man, like, to just know that, like, my shit is just one grain of salt, man. You know what I mean? Like, the things that I went through is just so common, and there's so many cases of it that it's just unfathomable. Like, it hurt me to watch that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just because, like, I know you as the Pittsburgh battle rapper, that when I see your battles come on YouTube, I get excited because, like, oh, man, there's my boy from Pittsburgh in the battle rap. And I love battle rap. I love my city, so of course I fuck with you. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
You know, like, you're just somebody that I see. I feel like I know you. You know what I mean? Just because, like, I've been following the battles and stuff. So, like, to just see that, like, just see you tell the story and, like, the way that you told the story was incredible. And the fact that you tell it with such, like, conviction and strength, when I know inside it kills you to even bring it up.
Let me be the first to debunk. I don't wear it very graceful a lot of times. There has been, for every strong-looking moment, there's a moment of me in a fucking can, in a sea of cans of beers. Fucking,
I can imagine. Like, I'm only a year in on my mom.
Yeah. But I understand and I reflect and I go, what can I use going forward? And the beauty is, so the statute ran out on me, and that's a whole nother thing, but the statute will never run out on changing the statute.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to say on it is, think about this. I have been calling my senators, because that's how you start. You call, and I got a hold of my senator, and he's great. And he said, man, I love what you're doing. Think about this. He goes, Trevor, I love what you're doing. You sound like an amazing son. But I want you to know how hard it is to change the statute for anything. I said, all right. He goes, we've been trying to change the statute in Pennsylvania for sexual abuse of a minor for 6 years now. I said, whoa, oh, who's against that? Who's fighting that? He goes, you know who's fighting it? And we can't beat the Catholic Church.
Oh,
that is how fucking warped. And so he goes, the insurance companies are going to show up to see you, Mr. Weller. And I'm all for it. So this battle this weekend, any battle you see me going forward, it's you are a wrestling fan, to make this full circle, that's Sunday Night Heat before the motherfucking main event. So just know it's the iceberg that hit the Titanic. Those are great. If I beat Geechee or if he beats or Saint beats or whatever the fuck. I'm in here for the long haul, man. I'm keeping myself in good shape just to make sure I got enough days on this earth to see that change happen in the name of that man that they did so wrong. You know, so I appreciate you guys' platform.
Look, man, these guys on the line with me, man, I come from a different show. I was on a different radio show for years, and I walked away from it, and I wanted to come back. And like, I've interviewed everybody from MC Shan to 3-6 Mafia to the Ghetto Boys. Name any group I've interviewed of everything. When I walked away, when I came back, I made it a goal to only interview artists that I really messed with. Because a lot of rappers ain't shit, man. This shit ain't fun. You know how they say never meet your hero. I should have listened to that because there's a lot of people I can't even listen to anymore. But I only interview people that like really mean something to me, man. When I say this, I really mean it, man. If there's anything I can do at all, whether it's simple as reposting something, if you'd like to come back on to promote something or want us to share something for the movement, anything at all, man, I sincerely mean it. Like, please,
no,
let me
love,
know.
Brother. Shares anything you could do, bro, because like I said, that face, that goofy, curly-haired dude with those little John Lennon glasses. He looks like John Lennon with a little fro. I'm telling you, that's the new Jerry West.
I'm going to do my best. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man.
I'm
going
to do my
love.
Best to make it to the Geechee battle, man. And if I can make it there, I'm going to send you a DM. I just want to shake your hand in person. Just because I might be
much love,
for you.
Fam.
My respect for you is enormous, man. And I'm going to let you go, man. I know you're a busy guy. We're going to let you go. But I love you, brother. Keep fighting, man. And keep putting on for the city, man. We are very proud of you, man. Like, for real. And,
much love, brother.
You know,
thank you.
I'm behind you 1,000,000,000%, man. And
thank
you. Ain't heard the last
man,
of
thank
me,
you
man.
Again. Thank you again, Real Deal. You know you're welcome back anytime, man. Thank you. God bless
you. I appreciate
man.
You all, man. Thank you so much,
fight.
Man.
Good luck with your
brother, Bruno San Martino.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
All right.
Take care,
right.
Brother.
Just on that note, we up out of here. Catch us again this Sunday night. We got the chill from Compton, the Most Wanted in the building. Same time, same channel. We out.
Peace.
Peace.